Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and psychic medium Sherry. The show is about to begin. Well, good evening once again, everyone. I'm Jason Ophir, and we are live for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm joined by, psychic medium Sherry, and we haven't been on in a while, so I think we have a lot to talk about. I don't know how much we'll talk about the paranormal or not, but we'll just kind of give everybody a heads up on what's been going on the last several weeks. Sherry, how's it going?
Good, very good. Just been busy reading, and, I've just been very blessed, and that's all I can say. It's just been very blessed. So, What about you, Jason? It's good to be back. It really is. It's really good to be back and to share our life and share the paranormal or whatever comes through. So what's happening with you?
Oh, well, not a lot. Nothing crazy to report. I have had a couple interesting things. As you know, I'm horribly addicted to slot machines. You know this, right, Sherry?
Yes, you are.
Yes, it's bad. And yesterday I had the worst experience that I've ever had in doing, hitting those slot machines for the last, 15 years. Now, I do this at the machines, video lottery terminals that are run by the state. And over the years, I've had lots of things happen, like power outages and the tickets getting stuck in the machine and all this. But yesterday was the coup de grace on just a bad situation. Not life-altering, but this is what happened. So I was at one of these video lottery terminals, and I was down to $20. And I somehow managed to get that measly $20. This is after putting hundreds in. Got that $20 back up to $681.10. You can imagine my elation. So I'm like, I've been doing this for many hours today, and I'm just going to cash this out, and we'll just try again tomorrow. So I hit the cash button. The ticket kicks out, but it's stuck. Pull it out. I look at the ticket, and I'm like, the ticket's printed totally fine. So I go to the cashier. She can't scan it. Now, that's happened to me before, too, where you can't scan it. That's why there are numbers that print on these lottery tickets that they just can manually enter, and you still get paid. Well, nothing is working. The ticket isn't scanning. It is not working, being manually inputted. This has never happened to me before. So they try a variety of things. You know, it's interesting because this is all hooked up to the state of Oregon and their servers, so it shouldn't matter if there's an issue with the machine. But she tried restarting the machine, talking to the Oregon Lottery. The guy on the phone, when he was explaining the situation, the guy from the Oregon Lottery said he's only seen this one other time before on a totally different style machine, and it's just not, they can't verify the ticket. So I was pretty pissed, and so my only recourse was to fill out this form, then fill out a winner claim form, then you got to mail it to Oregon Lottery, and God knows how long that's going to take for them to investigate it or not. Just a huge inconvenience. I was so pissed. You know, if it was $100 or $200, I wouldn't care. But it's nearly $700 that I couldn't cash out. And who knows? I'm half expecting the Oregon Lottery to come back and say, oh, sorry, you're shit out of luck or whatever. So we'll have to, I'll keep everybody updated on the on how that whole situation transpires. But it was just a major downer, and a really rare thing to happen. And of course it happens to yours truly. So
what happens in that case? Do you it's legit, right?
It's not like an error where the machine says I won $2 million. It's legit. I'm assuming since this is all computer controlled that they can pull logs and stuff like that and verify the ticket, you know. But in my mind, unfortunately, the world that we live in is just people get screwed all the time in a variety of different ways. So I, unfortunately, as you probably know, I'm a pessimist. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, they're just going to try and get out of paying it because it's not verifiable. Or they're going to try and say that I gave a forged ticket or some, you know, that's just my, I'm very conspiracy minded, you know. So hopefully I get a check. Hopefully it doesn't get lost in the mail to Oregon Lottery. Hopefully they send me a check and then all will be good. But it was just very frustrating at the time. And, you know, there's worse things that happen in this world. Yes, I mean, but it's just one of the, I guess you could call it a minor life inconvenience.
Wow, you could have got the money right then and there. And it happened to be your side where it got stuck, huh? Wow.
Yeah, the machine, it was kind of weird because the machine clearly had a jam, but that's not a problem. I've had that happen a ton of times. They rebooted the machine, and it looked totally functional when they rebooted it and cleared the jam. And then on the lottery terminal, because they have a computer that's connected to all their machines, it said it was totally fine, but I guess it was blinking, so they put a do not use sign on it. So I don't know what's going on, but I sure would have liked to have that $700 right then and there. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if Oregon Lottery does the right thing and sends me a check, or they decide to say, oh, you're out of luck. But I'm going to fight it. I'm not going to take this sitting down. If they want to play games with me, I'll go the distance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. Well, so what happens, when that happens, you can never get just, and you're screwed, can they? No.
I'm sure that there are some legal routes that they have to follow. I mean, they'll investigate it, they'll figure it out or do whatever, but it's, you know, this could take weeks to resolve. But other than that, I mean, that's just a minor inconvenience. Hopefully it'll get sorted out and they can just send me a check. It's not the end of the world. But other than that, since it's been so long that we've been on, I mean, there a lot of things have kind of been happening. I listed my house for sale again, and it seems to be the housing market has seemed to improve because more people are looking at it online, and we've had a few showings, but it's been up for a couple weeks now. So I'm hopeful that my house will sell and I'll be able to get on with another chapter in my life. And then the other thing I wanted to mention, because it's been a while since we got on, you're aware of this, that I had some tooth issues. And I know this isn't paranormal, but this is just one of the things that we all deal with. That's why I'm mentioning it. Tooth pain. Sherry, have you ever experienced really bad tooth pain?
Yes, I have. Yes. Definitely.
It is one of the most lame, painful things. Now, in my mouth,
it's not something
I have
you want to deal with.
Yeah, no, it's bad. You know, I have tens of thousands of dollars in my mouth. I have crowns and all this other stuff, and I have broken crowns. In fact, I have a broken crown I can almost stick my tongue in, but it's so expensive to get things fixed. You know, you're looking at if you don't have insurance, you're looking about $1,500 for the root canal, another $1,000 for a crown. And even with insurance, okay, that might take that $2,500 bill and drop it to $1,500. I mean, it's some of these procedures are absolutely ridiculous. And so I had one tooth in the back that the dentist, this was 4 years ago, was like, yeah, we could really need the crown. And I was like, you know, I don't have the money. Or maybe I could get a crown if I get that check from Morgan Lottery, get the one crown fixed. But anyway, but so he put a large filling in it 4 years ago. And I have just been waiting for that filling to break, you know. And then one day, 4 years later, recently, a couple weeks ago, it started to hurt. And it started to hurt a lot. There was a point, fortunately, it was coming in waves. I was like, it was hurting so much that I actually considered going to the emergency room. I mean, it was bad. And it was that back tooth. And so I took, I'm not a pill person. I don't take pills. I don't like taking pills. But it was bad enough. I started taking, you know, ibuprofen. And
well, that probably didn't even take the pain away. It just kind of, maybe you're lucky it took the edge off, right?
Yeah, no, it's just, it was just terrible. And so I got in to see the dentist. And, you know, of course, he wants to save the tooth. Like, he's a dentist. That's what they do. And I'm like, let's just pull it. It is so much cheaper to pull. Do I want a $2,500 bill or do I want to pay? Do I want it for free? You know, because insurance loves you to pull teeth because, you know, they'd rather pay $300 to pull a tooth than $3,000 to fix a tooth. So, yeah, so it's anyway, so I decided he, you know, did x-rays and stuff like that. And it started to look like it was getting a little bit infected. So I got on some antibiotics and he gave me the good pills, the Norcos, you know, the opiates, which oddly does nothing for pain. I don't know why opiate, for me, it does nothing for pain.
Right.
I mean, it still hurts.
Yeah, it didn't even take the edge off, did it?
I wouldn't even say it takes the edge off. All it does is make me just a little groggy, you know. Of course, I'm not abusing it and pounding them. I'm taking as prescribed, but it's just like, yeah, this is pointless. Why are people addicted to this? And so anyway, he referred me to an oral surgeon. And I went in to get the tooth extracted. It's not my first rodeo. I've had wisdom teeth pulled. And they were very efficient. I went in there. An old guy has been doing it for probably 40 years. And he got up in there. And unfortunately, the tooth next to the one that he was extracting had a crown on it. And when he was pulling out the tooth, he popped the crown off of the adjacent tooth.
Why?
And I was like, first thing I said was, because I could hear it when it happened. He was pulling around, and then you could hear he kind of was like, he didn't say it, but I could tell. He was like, shit. And I said, well, is the crown still intact? And he said, yeah. So they re-cemented it in. We don't know if he used permanent cement or not, but yeah.
That's his problem. I don't think that's something that you have to, that should be, you know, you have to pay extra for because he kind of messed up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't, I don't even know if I paid for the extraction. So then went and did that. And I had to go back to the regular dentist because when he reattached the crown, my bite was off.
Oh.
So I went back to the regular dentist, and he had to grind some stuff. And I think he didn't grind the crown down. He kind of grind down the tooth under it. But anyway, so that was. I mean, this is the kind of shit I've been dealing with. So this, you know, just the stuff that happens to everybody, and which oddly enough, the week after I had my extraction, my girlfriend had a tooth problem. And she had been having the tooth pain for like 6 months, like bad tooth pain. And so she made an appointment, and this is so ridiculous, and this is why I think people need to get second opinions. She made an appointment, and it took her like 3 months to just go see a regular dentist, whereas when I call my dentist, they're like, yeah, can you come in tomorrow? I'm like, great. But they made her wait 3 months, and so she goes in there, and they do all their stuff, and the dentist is like, oh, you know, they're pushing the crown and the root canal, and they're like, oh, yeah, I can just grind it down to look inside the tooth. And she told me that, and I was like, if they grind down your tooth to look inside the tooth, you're going to have a crown and a root canal. So they were just trying to bullshit her, trying to do the crown and root canal. So I told her to call my dentist. They got her in the very next day. She got the referral to the same oral surgeon, and she had it extracted. And unfortunately for her, now I don't know, are you familiar with the dry socket?
Yes, I kind of heard about that. What is it? Can you explain what exactly is a dry socket?
So it's a kind of rare complication when you have a tooth extraction. Normally what happens is your jaw, where they pull the tooth out, a blood clot forms. And that's the normal way things work. Well, what happens is when you have when that clot gets dislodged, and apparently it's more common to get a dry socket if you're female, and it's more common with the bottom molars.
Oh,
and
wow.
So she kind of had the perfect storm, being it a molar and being it on the bottom. Well, her clot dislodged, and she got a dry socket. And dry socket, supposedly, I've never had it, but it's like one of the worst pains ever. And
wow.
So she had to go back in, and they stick gauze in your tooth hole. And she had to go to the oral surgeon like 3 times because the gauze would pop out and this and that. And she's finally over it, but it's no joke. So if anybody gets a tooth extract, I mean, she thought the tooth pain was bad from the cavity or the abscess. Dry socket is on a completely different level. You definitely don't want that. And so she's all better now. But I thought it was amusing that her situation and my situation happened, you know, within a week. And but again, it's just one of the things that everybody has to deal with. It's life. As you get older, you know, we're older, so it's your teeth don't last forever.
No, unfortunately. Even if you have, you know, like whether it's a temporary crown or whatever, a bridge, whatever you call it, they don't last forever, unfortunately. They really don't.
No. I mean, my teeth are falling off. I think I have a couple broken crowns. One's really broken. They don't last forever. And I have to be careful not to, like, eat super hard stuff because I don't want to break any more crowns and break teeth. That's just because, you know, the pain's one thing, but anytime you break a tooth, all I see is dollar signs. Like, oh, shit, this is going to cost $1,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to cost you some money. Yeah, kind of thing. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm so glad that you're in, you know, you're recovering and you're not in any more pain.
Yeah, fortunately not. And hopefully I don't have to go back to the dentist anytime soon. And but other than that, you know, things have been okay. I'm still working where I'm working, and they're trying to start a union, and it's just kind of crazy. Things are busy. I'll tell you, just this is kind of gross, but I had for those that aren't familiar, I work in pathology, so I get a lot of body parts. You know, mostly mundane stuff like tumors and cysts and polyps various. Sometimes I'll get a leg or a hand or, you know, just kind of nasty.
You mean like
really.
Literally taking a whole hand or a leg or a whole thing or?
I get legs more often than hands. Usually it's like somebody that's got diabetes and or legs are rotting off. It's not super common, but I do get it. But I got a hand the other day, and this, I don't know, maybe it's not appropriate for me to be, think it was kind of humorous, but the hand, the only finger on the hand was the, that was remaining was the middle finger. So if you look at the hand, it was flipping me off.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wow. So was it a, what was it, an amputation or something, or somebody lost it or something?
It's almost, I don't get body parts that are traumatically, at least I don't think I've gotten any traumatically amputated parts. It's some sort of disease process, bone infection. It's called osteomyelitis. Usually a lot of gangrene, people with, you know, bad circulation, diabetes, that sort of thing. It's unfortunate. Diabetes is no joke, because you see a lot of things, complications of being a diabetic. And a lot of that consists of having toes or feet or legs cut off.
Oh, wow. Oh, geez. That's crazy. Yeah, you don't want that to happen. That's not something you want to happen at all. Oh, my goodness. You'd be feeling very lucky that you're not, you know, one of, you're not a statistic.
Yeah, no kidding.
No.
But that's what's up. What about you? What have you been, what's been going on with you?
Just same old thing. Nothing to brag about. I have nothing to brag about as far as anything new, or just doing the same old thing and doing readings. I love doing them. And Chinese medicine readings, psychic readings. I'm kind of getting away from the mediumship. Yeah, I still do it, but, you know, the demand is more for Chinese medicine and psycho. I just enjoy it. I absolutely love it. I have no problem. I just really enjoy it. So that's pretty much about it. Ever since, you know, I've been away on the weekends here and there, but I'm doing good. I'm really doing good. Nothing unusual. So nothing weird or anything like that. So.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Have you been keeping a tab on anything paranormal, anything crazy things going on?
Not necessarily. As a matter of fact, I went to the I went to the ghost conference. So I did go to the ghost conference, and it was really fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. I got a chance to see people. I didn't see people that you knew of, which is, you know, maybe a good thing, but...
My arch nemesis?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I did see June Lundgren. June Lundgren is an awesome person, lover. She's good at what she does as far as the dark side. But no, I really enjoyed, my time there. It was good to be able to be there. But... what else is going? Go ahead.
How was the turnout? Were there a lot of people there?
Lots and lots of people. Sunday was a little bit slower. Sunday was a little bit slower, but it was lots and lots of people. Oh my gosh, it was crazy. Not standing room only, but there was quite a few people, and it was a good weekend. It was a lot, and it was spring break.
Oh, right on.
So that was pretty, it was busy. Not as many people on Sunday, but it was pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, I think I went to one of those many years ago, but, you know, unfortunately I am a homebody because I get so exhausted from work. Now my work isn't physical, but it's so mentally exhausting.
Right.
When the weekend rolls around, I just want to play video games, gamble, and sleep. You know, I don't people well. I don't like crowds. I deal with people 5 days a week, and I just, you know, I just want to bury my head in the sand. Now I'm sociable and people love me to death, but that's just, it's all a facade. You know, it's just in my mind.
And being in the public eye, and you have to, you know, I don't put a face on. I love what I do, so it's a little bit, maybe a little bit different than for you, for me, for you. But I enjoy what I do. But when I have my home time, there are times where I want to stay home. I mean, want to deal with people, and there are times I don't want to deal with people. So I have that option, and you know, I'm very blessed where I can schedule people. I don't do, you know, I just make sure that I'm in the best of moods and. You know, I'm not, knock on wood, I'm not sick or, you know, feeling down in the dumps and depressed or anything like that. So, you know, I want to put out 100% as much as I can to each person that comes to me. Yeah.
I am a good public speaker, even in front of a bunch of people, but yeah, you know, I'm just the kind of guy that just wants to live out of the country and keep to himself.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't blame you.
Oh my goodness, that's so true, huh? You know, you could. You hopefully when you get your house. I mean, when you sell it, are you planning on just going into the country, or you want to stay? Where is it that you hopefully would like to go?
Well, I'm thinking Southern Oregon. I'm thinking I don't want a house, at least at this point. I've found that houses cause me great anxiety because of the things that could go wrong and are expensive to fix. And I've learned that even if you have a house that's new construction, which mine was, I looked at it as being like a car. Oh, nothing's going to go wrong. And that's just not the case. Now I'm learning that new construction is probably the least ideal because that's when, you know, things go wrong because it's brand new. Now I haven't had anything catastrophic go on, but I've had some issues that have cost me some money, and on a house that's less than 4 years old.
Wow.
Not to mention the fact that the homeowners association is going to be giving us all a $30,000 bill. So I am turned off on HOAs and house ownership, and that is why I'm steering to the RV life. Now, yes, things can go wrong in an RV and need repairs, but I see it as less costly and less risky as actually having a full-blown house.
Okay. Well, if you have an RV, you have to understand, too, an RV is nice. It is, but it doesn't go up in value. You know, there's some depreciation that goes with it. So if you pay $10,000, you know, you maybe 5 to 10 years, maybe worth it half maybe instead of going. So it depends. But it depends on where you're at in your life. You want to travel? It's going to be nice to see the world. It's going to be nice to go and be a little flexible. But then again, you might be tired after a while and say, you know, I just need a place to, you know, at least call home base and do some traveling and be able to come home to. And it just depends on where you're at in your life right now. So everybody's different. It's good that when you're down, you can travel. So, yeah.
My best friend's been doing it for at least 15 years. Now,
he has the
tour bus, you know, the huge thing. I don't want something huge. I want something that's comfortable and not a $10,000 RV. I mean, you're talking like a $100,000 RV.
Wow, really?
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
So.
Wow.
That's what I'm figuring on spending, give or take, so that I can be comfortable and And I don't plan on doing it forever. I mean, you know, in a few years, several years. And but it's fun. It's, and, you know, it's becoming more and more popular. If, you know, on YouTube, all the people, a lot of people are doing it. There's a lot of pros and cons. It can be pretty expensive for fuel and paying for hookups and stuff like that. But a lot of people are doing it. A lot of people are quitting their day jobs because they're just tired of the rat race, and they want to add a little adventure into their lives. And that's kind of, I'm kind of at the age of I need a little excitement.
Mhm. Well, I hope you can find your excitement. So you can find, you know, be able to retire a little bit, huh? Just travel, just do a little bit of traveling.
Yeah, I'll have to, you know, get a job, at least part time, you know, mainly for medical benefits. But but yeah, you know, it's 50 years old. It's time to start enjoying things a bit. As you know, I'm just tired of working for places where the people at the top get rich and all of us low paid workers just get screwed over, you know.
Well, anything paranormal in your life? Has there been any kind of weird things happening in your house or anything that you can say? Or
nothing paranormal here. I haven't seen or heard anything in a while. And just as a recap, there have been a few weird things that I've talked about in the past, like a mostly full body apparition and this new house. So I don't know where that came from. I think it was just cruising by, and a couple other weird things, but nothing at my house. It was nothing like the haunted basement that I was living in prior to this house. And, you know, that's probably the benefit of an RV, too, you know, is you don't have to worry about it being haunted. And if you're just on haunted land, you can just move.
Well, it depends if somebody died at your place, too, in the RV.
Well, that's why you buy a new RV, and then you don't have to worry about your RV being haunted.
Yeah, that's true. You all have to do is just worry about the land. Don't pick up any hitchhikers on the way.
No, yeah, no doubt about that. But other than that, you know, a lot of stuff is the same as it was before. You know, we're seeing more and more information regarding UFOs and disclosures and stuff like that. I think there's a lot of weird stuff going on with the moon. People are using these high-powered telescopes and seeing these objects hovering over the moon. As we all know, the moon is actually an alien base. One of the latest, most interesting sightings that was caught by the International Space Station on a live feed, the space station does live feeds, captured a massive, I believe it was like massive boomerang shaped object, like a V, but not like any of the current B-2 stealth bombers, not like that, but shaped, I guess, like exactly like a boomerang, but you know how boomerangs kind of like rounded? This isn't rounded. Wow. This is like two straight lines that connect to form a V, you know, with nothing in the middle. So that was broadcast on a live ISS feed, and it was hard to kind of determine how large it was, but it was above the clouds. And to me, I kind of, when I saw the video, it's only visible for maybe 4 or 5 seconds. It looks to me like massive, like hundreds of feet across.
Wow.
I don't know. So that's kind of the latest thing that's come across my feed. You know, keep an eye out because more information is going to get out there regarding the UFO phenomenon.
So, just be careful. Yeah, the UFO is just it's a daily occurrence, it seems like. It's not something, oh my gosh, it's something, you know, new, you know, weird or anything. It's just a daily occurrence.
Yeah, it's just getting more and more popularized, and now the government's...
That sounds like a heartbeat. That noise, it sounds like a heartbeat.
Probably the CIA. Let's all keep tabs on what's going on, because more stuff's going to come out, and I'm sure a lot of it's fake, but I'm sure there'll be some truthful stuff in there. This is kind of off subject a little bit, and it's not paranormal, and it does not involve dentistry or gambling. I'm watching an interesting documentary, and I wanted to summarize it for you, because one of the things that kind of gets my blood flowing is treasure, you know, gold.
Oh, okay.
And there's all sorts of lost and hidden treasures, and this is one that I never heard about before. It was, I don't remember the name of a peak, but there's this tiny mountain that's within White Sands, you know, missile testing range, you know, big military thing. So back in the 30s, there was this guy, he was out hunting, and he climbs to the top of this peak, and he notices there's a hole at the top, a shaft, something like that. He climbs down inside of this mountain, and it just zigzags, and he finds basically a treasure room. He counted 16,000 gold bars. I mean, today's money would be hundreds of billions of dollars. He found all sorts of artifacts like conquistador armor, jewelry, and all this. Now, you would say, oh, that's a bunch of BS. But people that were around him at the time saw the gold bars. He gave jewelry to people. He gave somebody a set of armor. And anyhow, so I'm surprised I never heard of this before, because basically what ended up happening was, you know, you can't just haul out 16,000 gold bars and climb up 200 feet, you know, through the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took a bunch of it, stashed a bunch of it, this and that and the other thing. And eventually what happened was he got hooked up with some other people, and they're like, you know, we need easier access to the treasure room. And they were there's a big rock in the way that you had to crawl around to get down in there. And they decided to blow up the rock. Well, that collapsed everything, which made it impossible to get the gold. But this was... it was kind of a big deal. He ended up getting murdered over it.
He did? Really?
Yeah. This is how crazy people are about gold. And the government was involved several times. I think it was in the 70s or it's the 60s, they went in there and tried to get it. And then in the 70s, there were several expeditions out there. People are claiming the government got to all the gold and all that. And Congress was involved. And
My goodness.
This was all over the news. Dan Rather was there in the time in the 70s reporting on it. I mean, this was huge news all over the world. And it just was like, how have I never heard about this? And it's in New Mexico. If anybody Googles, I don't remember the name of the documentary or the name of the peak, but just Google White Sands gold treasure or something like that. It's absolutely fascinating. So I'm like 3 or 4 episodes into this, and I'm transfixed. I don't think they ever found the treasure, but in the 90s, after decades and decades of the government going in, people going in, and the government made it so that you couldn't go in, obviously. And then these people came in and got Congress involved. And then, so now it's in the 90s is when this documentary is set, where they got permission to go in, have bigger equipment, modern equipment, and they're trying to get to the treasure vault. But it's fascinating. I don't know. It could all be a bunch of BS, but some of it seems fairly substantiated because this guy and other people are claiming that they actually took out gold too. Like, gold bars. Like, yeah, crazy. Crazy stuff. Anyway, it's interesting. If anybody's interested in treasure and treasure stories and stuff like that, just go look at the. I wish I had the name of the documentary. I think it's called Gold.
Yeah, let me know. Go and text it to me. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So if you could, that would be great.
I think I'll figure it out right now. I think it's called Gold, Lies, and Videotape. And I'm watching it on HBO. Yeah. It's called Gold, Lies, like Gold, comma, Lies, and Videotape. And it's a TV miniseries. And it's fascinating, but I was just surprised. How have I not heard of this before?
Wow.
Huh. That's my treasure story. So now we've covered dentistry, a little bit of UFOs, and treasure.
It's just a little bit of everything. Oh, boy. Yeah, at the ghost conference, they talked about a lot about ghosts, and they had all kinds of creepy dolls, and, they just had a lot of tarot card readers. What else do they have? They just had a lot of different things, people, Ouija boards, you name it, they had it. It was pretty good. It was a pretty good show. It's one of my shows, the Oregon Ghost Society. They're good.
Yeah, and I'm glad to see hear that it's still active and people haven't lost interest in the paranormal, it sounds like.
Well, there's a lot of people that just like to see all that stuff. It's amazing. It's pretty cool. It really is. Yeah. So, just nothing else. It's all pretty much same old thing, but, a lot of people just, they had a lot of classes, a lot of free classes. They talked about ghosts and June, she did something about demonic attachment, how you can tell. I wish I could have been there to be, listen to her, but that's what I would have probably wanted to see what she had to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was standing room only, but she was teaching the class for an hour, I think. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
So Sherry, I'm going to give you the power to make my dinner decision tonight.
Okay.
Do I eat frozen burritos because I'm lazy and don't want to cook, or do I Uber eat Mexican food? I will do whatever you say.
Oh, geez. Mexican food or burritos are not good for you. Well, what kind of burritos are they going to be frozen? Obviously,
yeah.
Probably
frozen. Frozen, just Uber Eats. Okay, cool.
You're probably going to eat better with Uber Eats and going to have some kind of, vegetables or something. I don't know. Something that, what do you call that? Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah, just get some food in ya. Food in ya. So get some nutrition.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe a salad.
Salads are boring and they don't fill me up. I'm a big boy.
I know. I like that too. You and me both, we're the same way. We don't do very good in vegetables, but you need a little bit just for yourself to eat it.
Hey, I'm still eating my fruit smoothies every morning. It's basically fruit and juice.
How is your kitties doing? How are they doing?
Oh, they're doing good. Yeah, nothing crazy there.
Good. Good. Wow.
Yeah, everything's all right. I mean, I can't really complain, you know. It's just, you know, we're just kind of trudging through life.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I'm going to be gone a couple weekends, but we'll make it happen. That's for sure. We'll make it happen.
Sorry, I'm shopping. What do I want with my tacos?
I would probably, I don't know. What do you want? How about, what kind of tacos? Is it beef tacos, chicken tacos? What are you going to have?
I'm going to have shredded beef tacos, and I'm going to get just a little enchilada, too.
That sounds good. That's all you're going to get? You eat that, don't you?
Yeah, I'm not going to go crazy. It's done. It's ordered. 10 to 25 minutes, I'll have some food to grub.
And you get tortilla? Do you get tortilla chips with dip as a
You can order it. I have to be careful. I'm addicted to Uber Eats, and I've noticed that my credit card, I go a little crazy. So I'm trying to do it less because, you know, you wake up one day and you have $600 balance of all Uber Eats. So I'm doing better at paying my credit cards down. Like tomorrow, I'll just transfer money to the credit cards just to pay it down. I can't keep holding these balances over my Uber Eats addiction.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
I'm a mess.
We need you around for a while, right? We need you around. I tell people, you know, Paranormal Horizons has been around for at least 10 years. Oh, guess what? I just got to tell you. Pat Rice, I ran into her.
Oh, did you really?
She was right next to me, and so she didn't have her boat. She was just visiting a friend, and I think, hi. She looks really well. I mean, you can tell she's had some challenges, but, it was good to see her, give her a hug, and just, I really like her personality, really, really do. Nothing weird or anything like that. She was just supporting the person that I was next door to. So, I didn't get a chance to really talk to her. I mean, I was busy doing my own thing and everything, but I did really get a chance to talk to her. And, you know, she didn't talk about the radio show or anything like that, but she was, to be honest with you, I think she was quite shocked that I'm still with you.
Oh, really? Yeah, what's been so long?
Yeah, how long has it been? At least,
it's got to be a decade. Yeah, I'm not sure.
This October is 9 years for me being on radio with you.
Yeah, so it was probably around a year or two before that. Pat Rice was the original co-host.
She said about the divorce. It's been that long. She said that's true because she's been divorced or something like that. Something about that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't really pay attention to her, you know, to what she had to say, but I told her, I say, well, this October will be 9 years. She said, yeah, that's it. That's pretty much, that's how long it's been. Yeah. So she's, you know, she's had her fair share and she's, you know, looks, you know, the same. It's not, you know, she's Pat. So good to see her. It was really, to be honest with you, it was very, very good to see her. So I recognized her right away and just gave her a big hug. I didn't get a chance to talk to her very much here and there, bits and pieces, but not much. I didn't really engage with her. She had her friend that had a booth, and then the daughter or somebody had a booth or something like that. I don't know. And so it was weird. It was just the energy within, to be honest with you, that the energy of that booth was very weird. It was not coming from Pat. It wasn't coming from her friend. It was more the daughter.
What was the booth like? What was the subject of the booth?
Well, they were selling gourds. Her friend was selling gourds. Pat wasn't selling anything. She was just supporting her friend. But they were selling all these gourds, and she painted them. Some were like skeletons, and some were like bird feeders. These gourds are like kind of supposedly like bird feeders or something. And then her friend that had a bad attitude, she's just really, her energy was not very well, very, very positive, let's put it that way. But she was selling earrings that were made out of, I don't know, like little tiles from the tarot card, the original tarot card deck. So anyway, they were busy at times. And like I said, I got a chance to talk to Pat here and there. This Sunday, they took off. They did not even, as a matter of fact, they just stayed Friday. And then Saturday and Sunday they came in and they broke down. Pat helped her friend. Her friend apparently was not there. So they broke down and they left early Sunday morning.
Well, I'm glad she's doing well. I haven't talked to her in years.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was good to see her. And she looks good and everything. And there's a lot of people, some good energy, some bad, it's just, you just make do what you have, and, people are people, and you just be friendly, and that's what I did. I was being friendly and just, trying to make the best of being around people. That's what happens when you're around a lot of people, good and bad and in between.
That's the danger of being with people. Some people just have bad energy,
Oh, yeah. Well, that happens, and you try and avoid them. And, this is interesting because, I put it out there. I just want to, and this is really true, Jason. I put it out there in the universe. I asked the Creator to put beautiful souls in my path. I don't want to deal with difficult people. I don't want to difficult with, with people that have drama, things like that. So I asked the Creator to go and put beautiful souls into my path so that we can all learn from each other and teach each other and share our lives together and just unconditionally love each other and walk each other home. So that's been my motto in the last few years, and not only professionally, but also in my private life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You got to be careful what you ask for, because you will get it, and that's what I ask. It's around me and my family. Anybody that has too many bad, stuff and everything, no. They get shooed away. They don't even come in my space. And besides, you're protected anyway, so just know that you're protected.
Yeah. So I was just on my tablet on the Blog Talk Radio site, and I went to the very last Paranormal Horizons show. I had to cycle through 38 pages of shows.
Oh, you just did? Really? Wow.
And I can't log as administrator to find out the exact date, but the very first show of Paranormal Horizons was 10 years ago.
Wow. Okay. So October 31st, and this will be 9 years, because every anniversary, I say that in on social media, but I tell people, hey, last 7 years, 6 years, 5, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years. I made my first introduction. It was on Halloween, October 31st. It'll be 9 years in October. That's when I had my first show with you. Because I met Pat at the Oregon Ghost Concerts.
Oh, right.
And
on.
That was my favorite for Oregon City. She approached me. She was not a vendor. She was just kind of roaming around, and she came up to me, and she, you know, she came up to my booth, and she says, "I like your voice. I don't know, I'll never forget. You have a good voice. I don't understand. Thank you." And she said, "Well," and then she gave me her card, and she says to me, she says, quote unquote, she says, I am a co-host on Paranormal Horizons Radio, and I'm going to be leaving, and I am looking for somebody that has a good radio voice and would like to take my place." And I was really floored. I was like, "Oh my God!" But I got to make sure it's okay with my co-host, because he has that major decision. It's his show, and it's his decision, his final decision of whether you're going to be appropriate to be his, you know, to be his co-host. Because I think she's going to do some. I don't want to. You know, it's just some major issues in her life, and so she decided it was time to move on. I remember that when we were in Oregon City. The Ghost Conference was in Oregon City.
And here we are 9 years later. That's amazing.
Almost nine years. Well, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. Yep, so 9 years. Well, be 8.5 years in April. Yeah, April 31st is 8.5 years. So this coming April will be 9 years. That's crazy. But I'm glad we're still here. I mean, all the shows. A lot of people are doing podcasts, but when we did that 9 years ago, 10 years ago, it was unheard of. And we were on live on air too. So that even made it even more advantageous. You know what I mean?
Yeah. On the actual radio stations. Yeah.
And on definitely. Yes. And you never know. We could be the same way, go back live on air. We are live on air. This is what's nice about a podcast. Is that we don't do a rerun. We don't go and have to go and pre-record. We're literally live on air. But it's just a lot of these places that they go and do. It's, the podcast world has just, it's such a big plethora, from iHeartRadio to Spotify to all these other things. It's just, it's a lot. We started when we met. Crazy.
Yeah, well, the time flies, and but speaking about time flies, it looks like we're close to out of time, so I think we should wrap it up.
Yep, we are. So, hey, everybody, continue to follow. I don't know about you, Jason, but I don't know if you noticed that I've been putting posts here and there a little bit. Have you do a little bit more activity to get your two cents in? You get really a good response, quite a bit.
You're talking about the Facebook page?
Yeah.
I go in spurts. You've probably noticed that. There's a flurry of posts by me, and then I go dark. I need to remember to keep doing stuff. But we're still plugging away on Facebook. We're not at the same glory we were at a few years ago, but we're still getting out there.
I think we're doing really well. We're maintaining. We really are. We're not. I mean, I don't think we have lost any in the last year. I think we've gained a little bit of momentum, but we still have quite a few, 49,000 followers. That's a lot of followers, to be honest with you. That's a lot.
That is a lot. And there was a time when posts would reach a couple million people a week or something. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. And it's a lot about content. So, you know, I find that people really like the memes. They're funny, not outrageous or anything like that. People really like the memes. And if you go into cryptozoology, if you go on my social media page, go under, look at that one, or even look at on Paranormal Horizons on the Facebook. Look at the Bigfoot. Somebody caught that in Oregon not too long ago. So go ahead and look at that before you order or when you're ordering your food. Okay? Check it out. Anyway, everybody, check us out. Thank you for following us after all these years. And we'll be back on air, live on air one of these days, maybe next week. No, not next week, but the week after. But thank you for just being there for us and following us.
Absolutely. And I can see my Mexican food is en route. So it's a good time to close it. Unless you have anything else, Sherry, I'm starving.
No, I am really pretty good. And anybody wants to go and get a hold of me, get a hold of me on Psychic Medium Sherry, Cheri, on Facebook. They can go and look at my page. Also, www.psychicmediumsherry.com. And again, it's Cheri. Go ahead and if you're interested in any of my services with Chinese medicine and psychic readings, go ahead and just shoot me a text and I will respond when I can. But thank you, everybody, for just being there and being faithful to us.
Absolutely. And it's taco time. So I hope everybody has, as I always say at the end of every show, a safe and fantastic week. And I don't think we'll be on next week, but we'll probably be on shortly thereafter. And with that, good night, everyone.
Take care. Love and peace, everybody.